I'll stand together, grab your Bibles this evening. Thank you for being here. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read a few verses there in Matthew chapter 16. And then we'll make some comments and then we'll let you be seated. Matthew chapter 16. It's been a little over 2 weeks since our pastor went into the hospital. And over the last couple weeks, of course, with our missions conference, it's been kind of a different schedule. We've had the missionaries coming in here and then speaking, and it's been our missions conference. And really, this is the first Sunday that we would be back on what we would call a normal schedule, and Pastor's not with us tonight. And so I want to talk a little bit about our church and church in general tonight and just give you a few things about our church and just a little encouragement about what we're doing here and what's going on, and it's good. And we're thankful for a good church because Pastor Esposito has done a good job of training the people of our church and preaching the Word of God and teaching us. And so I will say this, Brother Mike Ray was here on Thursday, and afterwards I took him to the hotel. I was talking with him. He's like, you know, I came here thinking that the church would be a little bit down and we'd have to really encourage them. He's like, but they were encouragement to me. And really, everything he said in the message, the three things at the end of the message, he told us that we should be doing while we're in that holding pattern. Our church has already been doing it. And so I want to commend you for that. But we want to talk a little bit about the church tonight. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. I will not have you stand long, and I don't think we're going to be here long tonight. But I just want to encourage us a little bit. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, John who stood forth for the truth, John that was courageous, called out Herod. Some Elias. Elias was the miracle, guy that did the miracles. And, of course, John the Baptist did no miracles, but Jesus did say that there was on the earth none greater than him. But some said Elias, and others Jeremiah, the compassionate one, the weeping prophet, or one of the other prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He said, that's fine. You've been hissing the word on the street. Here's what people are saying about me. Who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now this is the verse our Catholic friends have a problem with. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Peter means a stone. And upon this rock will I build my church. Not Peter. Peter's the stone. Okay? Who's the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not built on man. No church is a man's church. If it is a man's church, we're in a world of hurt. The church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And calling it upon this rock, that rock would be a reference back to the Old Testament scriptures, and the rock refers to God. Of course, we know Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And Jesus said, upon this rock, what rock? The rock that you just said I am, Peter, this is what the church is going to be built upon. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. I'll let you be seated. Father, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray as we look tonight at the church that we pray that you would just, Father, speak to our hearts. Encourage us tonight, Lord, as we go forward, as Brother Ray so really aptly stated on Thursday night in a holding pattern. But help us, Father, to see what we need to do during this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here, as I mentioned before, Christ pointed out the church is built upon himself. Not saying it's Peter. By the way, Peter was not the first pope. Okay? Now, Peter had a mother-in-law. Popes are not supposed to be married. Any man would be a fool to have a mother-in-law who's not married. Think about that one for a minute. It's not the smartest thing in the world to do. Christ is the foundation of the church. By the way, he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now we think, aha, you know, hell's not going to get us. No, no, the gates of hell, that's a protective measure. Okay? It's not that hell's coming after us and they're not going to prevail against us. It means we're going after them and they're not going to be able to prevail against the spiritual attack, the forefront, as we go forward for the Lord. It's an offensive thing. Church is to be offensive, not defensive. Well, you know, I don't think church ought to talk about things like that. They ought to just have their own beliefs and sit still. No, we go forward. We fight society. We don't sit here and we're not quiet about it. Gates of hell will not prevail. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. This is introduction. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. If that works for you, thanks. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. I love this verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which is his power. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is, of course, to fulfill his mission, and by doing so, we are bringing honor and glory to the Lord. That's what the church is supposed to do. And I like how he tells us how we do it. How can we do that? Because he is able. That's the power. Amen. The power to go forward in the church and reach people for Christ and do the things God has commanded us to do is because we get all power from the Lord, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He also says he does it exceeding abundantly. That's his provisions. More than you, it's not just a little bit, it's exceeding. It's extra. It's a lot. God provides everything we need to go forward. Everything we need to go forward in this church, to go forward, to win souls, to keep doing what we're supposed to do, get that building built and do everything, we have all those resources because he provides them for us. That's his provisions. Above all that we ask or think. That's the possibilities. God can do more than our little minds even sit back and think that could be done. You think, man, wouldn't it be great if this has happened? And God's like, you're thinking too low. I got more in mind than that. Above all that we ask and that we think. I've been fortunate to be in this church since day one, to be with Pastor Esposito, actually 6 months before the church started. When we started going out, we started visiting and getting prospects. And actually, he was still on deputation a little bit, and I'd go to deputation services with him. I remember one time, these were old school, you know, the slides, you know, click, click, and he was doing the slides, and he was trying to, he had pictures of some of the Cambodians he had reached in Chicago. And he goes, these are some of the, he wasn't paying attention to the slide. He goes, these are some of the people the Lord had so graciously allowed me to reach in Chicago. And he kicked the slide, and it was the bones from the killing fields. That was a bunch of bones, and he's like, hey, we need to hit that up one more. But I've been fortunate. And really, if we look back at the history of our church, he's done exceeding abundantly more than we ask and think. You've heard some of the stories. When we were first starting the church, we had a church building, and our first service we had at MacArthur Park, but we had this church building already lined up for the second week service. Well, a week before opening service, they just decided out of the blue, no, we don't want to rent to you guys. I mean, we weren't renting there. They had no reason to be mean to us. It's just like, we just decided we don't want to do that. So we were kind of under the gun, and I think Pastor found the Walk With Me Church of God in Christ. They went by the initials. They went by the initials WWMCOGIC. Rolls right off the tongue. You know, and so here we are meeting at the Walk With Me Church of God in Christ. The first service over at MacArthur Park, we had over 100 people there. The next service was Labor Day weekend. It was the hottest day up until that time in the history of Long Beach, 110 degrees. In that small building with no air conditioning. Okay, we didn't have 100 people that week. We had about half that crowd, and it was miserable. But I remember, they were great people, though, and church started at 3:30. Everybody had to get picked up. Nobody had cars. And so it was Pastor. I had two cars. Pastor had a car. All three, my wife and I and Pastor, we're out picking people up before church, and we get them there for 3:30. These people started church at 9 in the morning. They wouldn't even be done by 3:30. And we're sitting outside across the street waiting for them to have our first service. And it was kind of crazy, but I'll tell you what, God bless why we were there. And people started to come, and the church started to grow a little. And then my wife had taken one of the Cambodian ladies, needed to go to the doctor. My wife took her to the doctor, and while she was in there, she started talking to another lady, invited her to our church. And the lady said, well, I already go to a church. And my wife was explaining what we were doing. And she said, you know, our church would let you rent the building in the afternoon. So we told pastor, and he called, and we started meeting at the First French Church over on Atlantic and 9th Avenue. And we had a church building to meet in. And that was a huge, huge blessing. And now services were at 1 o'clock, so it wasn't that bad. Now, if you know anything about the Friend denomination, they don't have a baptistry. So when we would baptize, we had to have a baptistry. So we went out and bought one of these fiberglass bathtubs. You remember. And so we had the fiberglass bathtub. Now, when we would baptize somebody, the water would come out. There was just no way to get it. Somebody broke into church and stole our baptistry. I mean, stole a bathtub, really? That's what it was. But we met down there for about a year or so, and man, the Lord blessed. And then they got a new pastor and started doing something and said, you need to move. So pastor found the building over on Long Beach Boulevard. Now, the building on Long Beach Boulevard was by far the worst building. We met outside. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it was better to meet outside. And that building was bad. We were there for about 9 months. It had rats. They had one guy living on site. The guy was blind, and you know, I think he was deaf too. I don't know what it was, and it was bad. And pastor started the Christian school on a ping pong table. You've heard the story. Well, because he started the school, the city inspectors came, and they're inspecting the building, and pastor's showing them around. And one of the inspectors pulled pastor off to the side and said, "Hey, I'm going to let you know something. I'm a Christian." And these guys are not. This building needs to be condemned. So I'm going to tell you something right now. Before we come back next time, you need to get out of here, or else they're going to stay on you for a really long time. And we had to leave. By the way, they tore that building down soon afterwards. That's probably the best thing they could have ever done. Brother Board lived there, and that was crazy. But so we were there for 9 months, and then we moved to the Anaheim building. Now, how many of you were in the Anaheim building over on Anaheim? That was a unique building. I'll just tell you something right now. 90% of you in here, you wouldn't have went to that church. I'm just telling you, you wouldn't have went. You'd have driven by there and said, if you get on the internet, I'm in town, I'm on vacation, I'm looking for a Baptist church, a fundamental Baptist church. Hey, but you would have driven by and saw that, laughed, and left. We painted the outside of that building. You want to know what color it was? I kid you not. We got every ounce of paint we had left, and we mixed it all together because we had to have enough paint to paint it. And whatever color that was what we painted the church building. I'm just telling you, that's how it worked. And so we were in that 2,400-square-foot building. We had gang fights. We had the best fight we had. We're starting church, and we were a young church. We had a bunch of teenagers. We had a bunch of ex-gangbangers. And so we're shooing all the kids in, and there was one girl there. And ex-gang girl, you know, she was doing great. She was loving the Lord. And this car pulls up, and this girl and her boyfriend hop out, and the girl chases her down, and they start fighting. And I'm like, you know, the little boyfriend there was, you know, wimp. But so I run over there, and I thought, I got to break this up. Well, I didn't break it up evenly. And the other girl got to hit our girl pretty good. And I thought, man, I felt bad. I didn't break it up right. But right when I was pulling apart, our girl, her fist went right by my nose. Bam! So we're even, all right? She gave her a nice good shot right in the nose. I'm like, we're even. We can go to church now. We're done. That kind of stuff happened all the time. We met outside for 5 years. I mean, 5 years. And then we decided time for a church building. By the way, God blessed over there unbelievably. We had a bus ministry on Saturday. We'd bring in 300 kids. We didn't even have a bus. We didn't have a bus. We did have a bus. And it ran about once every 6 weeks. We didn't have a driver, first of all, but it didn't run very much. And we're walking kids in. We're stuffing them in cars and vans and bringing them in. And it was tremendous. It was great. But God had something more for us. And so we decided to buy this church on 3rd Molino. I still have the T-shirt. Now, we raised this money. We were all excited about it. And then the city council said they didn't want us there. It was a small area, no parking. It's like, we don't want you there. And I'll never forget, Pastor called and said, I got to go tell these guys we don't want the building. He asked me to come with them. We drove over there, and it was a Presbyterian group, and we sat in their meeting, and they're trying to talk us into it. You know, oh, Joe, you have faith. I'm like, whatever. And so we got done with the meeting. It's like, we can't buy it. Not going to do it. Sorry about it. We were leaving, and the guy said, hey, just a thought, we have another building on Pacific Avenue you might want to look at. So we went over to the one on Pacific Avenue, better area, bigger building. It actually had some parking, and it was cheaper. And so we bought our first building. Now, I'll never forget sitting in the building that first service, because we've been outside for 5 or 6 years. And I'm like, there's a ceiling. We're indoors. And I'm like, I can get used to this. Now, those of you on the patio, you still aren't used to it. But I can get used to this. Man, and God blessed over there. And then you know the story of this building here. Pastor walked around this building for years. You know, actually, I think it was 1995. We almost rented this building. We came over here and we met with them and brought a bunch of our people. And at the last minute, they decided, no, we don't want to rent the building to you. We really don't want to do that. And so, but that was still on Pastor's mind. You know, let's walk, and we prayed for it. We stole our building over there. This building wasn't even for sale. Pastor said, just ask them if they'll sell it for $1.8 million. We just picked a number out of our hat. And they said, okay, we'll do that. And then they took $100,000 off. So it ended up being $1.7. And God has blessed. Amen. And now when I think about us building a building, anybody here that was with us in the old days, if you're honest with yourself, there is no way in the world you would imagine us ever building a building. We were just glad to be in a building that had a roof. It didn't leak. But God's done wonderful things in this church. And let me say this. This isn't God's done wonderful things in the past. He's doing wonderful things in the future. You see, all the past is a gauge as to what God plans to do in the future. Our future is bright as our past has been, and only better. So we got a great future ahead of us. Now, right now, and again, I like this phrase, and I think this is good for us to remember as we're thinking through things. Right now, we are in a holding pattern. In one way, but we're not in a holding pattern in another way. We're waiting on Pastor. We're praying for his healing. But while we're in that holding pattern, we are not in a holding pattern as to what this church is going to do. So what I want to do is this. For a few minutes, I want to talk to you about what we're going to do while we're waiting for Pastor. I just want you to know. There's not going to be any surprises. I just want you to be encouraged, and I want you to know, what do we plan on doing during this time? I'm just going to give you 7 or 8 quick points. First of all, we're still going to go forward in missions. That's not changed. You say, well, you know, and some people are like, why do we talk about missions all the time? Well, let me explain it. It's in the Bible. We talk about this verse all the time, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. That is still in the Bible, and that is not just something we're supposed to be doing. That's something every church is supposed to be involved in. And by the way, we don't do it to the exclusion of what we're doing here. We do everything we can to reach everyone nearby here. That does not excuse us or absolve us of our responsibility to reach the world. We're still going forward in missions. We've had a wonderful missions conference. It was great to have Brother Esposito and Brother Board back. Those are our guys, okay? They're our church. They're from our church. And we're going forward. We're going to fulfill the goals Pastor gave us. We're going to take Ben Ray on. By the way, tremendous family. Dad's been on the mission field for I don't know how long. Do you know? He's 18 years, been on the mission field for 18 years. His first son, his first son, just went back. He got his support raised. He's going back to China to raise it. And now Ben Ray just got married. He's raising his support. He's going back. They are primed and ready to do something in China, and we're going to support them. We're increasing Brother Vong's support. We support our guys at a little bit higher level than a regular church would because they're our guys. We could not do that right off the bat, but now we kicked it up and we are supporting him at the level we need to support him. We're gonna pay Brother Stanton's rent for at least the first 6 months. Okay, Brother Pritchard's got his tracks and his cards. He was out yesterday, out soul winning, got 17 prospect cards filled out. Stanton's going forward. Excited about that. And then we're going to start a fund for Team China. And then also our Team Samaria. Over the next few years, Pastor's goal was within the next 5 years to have someone on the ground in China. And so you don't wait till the last minute and say, oh, people want to go. What do we do to help them? No, we're going to put money away now. And we're putting some more money in our Team Samaria, which is our church planning fund, so that after stands up and running, whenever time God has, God shows us the next place to start a church, we're ready to start a church there too. So we want to go forward in missions. We're still going forward. By the way, let's make sure we keep our commitments. Okay? The emotional part of the missions conference is over. Everything boils down to writing a check. Let's just be honest. Oh, man, I love the little song, we've been so blessed. How can we give so little when we've been blessed so much? What a wonderful song. What wonderful pictures. Get the checkbook out, sign it, and let's get the money. Everything boils down to that. You say, well, God's called me to go. Guess what? You're going to need to go out and raise money so you can go. Write the check. Okay? God has not maybe called us to personally go, but that doesn't mean we can't sit here and pray for those that go. And while we're praying, get the checkbook out, sign that thing off, and let's help the gospel get out to the world. So we're going to go forward in missions. Number two, we're going to have a great friend day. Okay? Now, we've been a little bit behind here on it, but listen, we're not going to stop Friend Day. We're going forward. It's time to get out there, and let's invite as many people as we can. You don't know who's going to show up on that day that maybe 3 years from now, they're the ones surrendering to go to Team China. You don't know. They're out there. Let's go out there, and let's reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved on an Easter Sunday because my friend, Joe Esposito, Joe at the time, took me to church with him after he got right with God on an Easter Sunday. Now, God had already been dealing with me. He took me to church, and that's the day I got saved. It wasn't a friend day, but it was a special day, and he took me to church, and that's a day that I will remember for all eternity. I wonder who's out there waiting for us to get them here so they can remember it for all eternity. Now, by the way, just to be honest, Pastor always didn't help me with the good things. We grew up together. I remember one time we were in a store, and I was looking at something. He goes, man, you don't have to pay for that thing. Just take it. He said, stick that in your pocket. I'm like, Pastor. It's like, really? He goes, come on. You're not going to get caught. So I stuck it in my pocket. On the way out, we had to stop and play the pinball machine. It was Toro Toro over at Zody's. And as I'm playing the pinball machine, Mr. Security Guard tapped on my shoulder. You going to pay for that, son? I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, well, my pastor is. Just kidding. But I'm glad when he got saved. I'm glad when he got saved, he thought about me too, all right? Friend Day. Let me give you some encouragement for Friend Day. Make it your goal over the next 2 weeks to get 5 to 10 contracts. By the way, I told this in my Sunday school class. I may have mentioned it here in one of the services. But Brother Coppa told us a lady in the Spanish ministry, a newer lady in the Spanish ministry, she got her sons together and said, we're going to have a big meal, and she's going to invite all of her friends and I think some of her family, and she's going to provide a big meal for them. And the whole purpose of the meal is to sign them up for Friend Day. Now, that's creative, okay? But Friend Day, sign 5 to 10. And then start reminding them. Once you sign them up, don't forget about them. Remind them about Friend Day. Pray about Friend Day. And then be ready on that Sunday. Be here early. And let's help reach some people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. So let's have a great Friend Day. Number three, here's what else we're going to be doing. We're going to keep fulfilling our ministry responsibilities. Now's not the time to slack up. It isn't. Okay? By the way, we're in the middle of a fall program. If you're a nursery worker, when it's your day, show up on time, show up ready to go. You teach Sunday school class. Get your lesson ready, not on Saturday night. Get your lesson ready, be excited, show up on Sunday, and love those in your class like nobody's business. Whatever you have to do. I'm a bus worker. Be here on Saturday. Go visiting. See who you can sign up. Get on that bus. Have a great time. Make sure those kids have a great time. And witness to them and share the gospel and teach the book. Let's make sure that we are fulfilling our responsibilities. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I came in today and half my students were gone. You know what you need to do? You need to contact them. Let them know you love them. Let them know you missed them. Let them know they need to be here next Sunday. By the way, watch out. I call these church illnesses. It's funny how people get sick, and it's only on certain days. The first one is what I call the fixed illness. It only happens on Sunday. Here's somebody, and they'll miss 6 Sundays a year because they're ill. Okay? That's fine. Now, let's think this through for a minute. So if you're... Illnesses do not have calendars. So process of, you know, just the odds. If you're sick on six Sundays, you're probably, the odds are going to tell you you're going to be sick six Mondays, six Tuesdays, six Wednesdays, six Thursdays, and six Fridays, six Saturdays. So you ask the same person that misses church six Sundays, how many days of work have you missed this year? Oh, one. You got that fixed illness. It only hits you on Sunday. Okay? They need a miracle. Okay. You know, on Monday, your head hurts a little bit. You know, I'll take an aspirin and go to work. Man, if your head even thinks of hurting on Sunday, it's like you're in traction. I can't go. I'm sick. But Monday morning, you're healed. I don't believe in fixed illness. We also have the fleeting illness. Not only is it just on Sundays, it's only during the service. I don't feel good. I can't make it to church, but Sunday afternoon, you're at the mall. Brother. Okay, let's be faithful. Okay. My grandmother had a philosophy. I went to school one day. I was in first grade. We stayed with her during the week. My mom would get us there, and I'd go to school by her house. I went to school on Monday, and I just didn't want to be there, and I started crying. I want to be there. And so my grandmother came and picked me up. You have to understand my grandmother. She didn't talk much, but she was tough as nails. And she comes there. She picks me up out of school, walks me home. Didn't say a word. I thought, man, this worked well. We get home, and she says, go to bed. I'm talking 8:30 in the morning. Go to bed. By the way, no cable television, no cable box in the room, no, you know, this is back in the day. There was nothing. And I stayed in bed all day until the next morning. I get up. I go to school. I did the same thing. I cried again. She didn't argue with me. She didn't spank me. She came to school, picked me up, brought me home, and said, go to bed. You're sick. Go to bed. Can I just tell you that third day I went to school, I was motivated to learn. I did not want to be in bed anymore. No way in the world. Okay? Let's be honest. Let's just be faithful. Number four, just so you know what we're going to be doing, the staff's will keep doing what they're supposed to do, and probably a little bit more. By the way, just so you understand, all the bases are covered here. Okay? We're going to make sure everything's taken care of in his absence. Well, it's fine. Everything's taken care of. The guys know what they're doing. Pastor has set the church up in such a way, everybody has the responsibilities, everybody knows what they're doing, and we're still going forward. We're not going backwards. Okay? And so just so you know, everything's good. We're in good shape. Okay? By the way, our church is a very unique church. I don't know if you know that. I mean, most churches don't do things the way we do. That's probably why we've got to the point where we're at. Okay? We're a very unique church. And by the way, for the most part, most of our staff here are for some, got reached here, grew up here. This is their church. And be thankful for that. We know how the church runs. We know what's supposed to happen. Hey, everybody's going to be taken care of. Okay? Now, I hate to say this because I don't want to take it wrong. Finances are fine. Say, you don't need any more money? I didn't say that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? All right? No one's missing a paycheck. All right? The lights are going to stay on. They may be battery operated. Everything's fine. And you just need to know that. You say, well, you need counsel. You need to see somebody. See, you can see the staff members. You can see your Sunday school teacher. Everything's fine. Okay? Everything's in place. We're going to go forward as we wait for our pastor. And that's why the staff's here. Number five, we're going to keep winning the lost. Okay? We're going to keep winning the lost. People still need the Lord Jesus Christ. Buses are still going to run. Hey, the Filipinos start their bus route next Sunday. Not putting that on hold. We're not stopping it. We're going to go forward. People still need to know Jesus Christ. We're still going to print tracts. We're still going to go soul winning. We're going to go bus calling. We're going to visit our class. We're going to follow up on visits. We're going to do everything we're supposed to do to win the lost, because that's what God wants us to do. We're not stopping that. By the way, we're supposed to win people. We're supposed to be a witness everywhere we go, not just on Tuesday nights. If we're not going out on Tuesday nights for a little bit because we're doing some building stuff, it doesn't mean you can't witness. By the way, come on Saturday. All right, you know, people are still lost on Saturday, and they're still lost other days of the week when you meet them at Starbucks or wherever else it is you go. So let's have a burden for souls, and our church does, and we're going to keep doing that. Number six, we're going to keep building the building. Man, the building's going forward. They got all that construction out here. They got to rip up the neighbor's trees, which is a blessing, you know, and rip those things out of there. We're putting in the electrical wires. I think we have some teams coming in November. Hey, we're building the building. Okay, we are getting so close, you can almost see it. I mean, you can smell it. It's there. And so let's push forward and let's get that building done. We're going to still build it. Now, in October, we've been taking it off, but in Saturdays, in November, we'll go back to our Saturday work days. When we have the teams here, we'll have some sign-ups. We'll do some work days, but we're going to get the building built with God's help. We're not going to stop that. Number 7, I had to throw this in because it is a Baptist church. We'll keep tithing, giving to missions, and giving to the building. Amen? Okay? By the way, and I know half of you don't believe this, but, you know, giving is a blessing. It's probably one of the most blessed things that I've been involved with in my Christian life. I'm so glad that I have no idea where I got it from. I don't know if I watched Benny Hinn before I was a Christian. I have no idea. I just knew when I got right with God that Christians tithed. And I always did it. And I had a job, too. Okay? You know, when you get in a dollar, it's easy to throw a dime in. But I'd always done it. And it's been the most blessed thing. And I'm so glad that in 1994, we were told by the president of BIMI, hey, you need to be a real church and take on missionaries. We started giving to missions from that point. We've been given from that day forward, and we've increased it many, many times over. And then the building. The building is a blessing. Giving to the building and seeing your money used to reach the building. Let's keep giving. Let's be faithful to the commitment that we made. By the way, just so you knew, I thought you might want to know, our new missions commitments start in November. Okay? So whatever you've committed, what you've already done, the new year starts November 1st, and we're excited about it, and we're excited about those we get to take on. So let's make sure that we keep giving and going forward. Number 8, I'm just got to throw this out there. We're not going to change anything. Okay, let me just throw that out there. We're not going to change anything. This isn't like, you know, pastor's down for a while. It's our opportunity. You know, while the cat's away, the mice will play. No, we're going to kill the mice still. We're going to kill them. We're exterminating. Raul, you can help. We're going to kill them. Okay, you know. By the way, it's not your opportunity either. Now, look, I probably shouldn't say this, but that's okay. I got this right. I saved this right here. The first week after pastor went in the hospital, someone texted us who no longer goes to this church. And it's ridiculous. I kept it on my phone so I can get upset. If I'm having a really good day and I'm like, I want to kick the neighbor's dog, I read that. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever read. Like, oh, you know, hey, this is a chance. Why don't we make these? We ain't changing nothing. By the way, you don't go here anymore. And we're not for your coming to church. But that's not where we're at. Okay? Nothing's changing. We are what we are. By the way, things are going good. And so that doesn't mean, you know, if a light bulb goes out, we're not going to change it. We'll change the light bulb. Trust me. And if we can find a way to change the light bulb and save on the wattage and cut the bill down, we'll do that too. But you know what I'm saying, okay? We're not going to start doing off-the-wall things in the school. Well, let's have a Valentine's dance. We're not having a Valentine's dance. I'll tell you what. Let's have a Valentine's dance. Tuesday and Wednesday. Guys can dance together on Tuesday. Girls, you dance together on Wednesdays. We're not going to have dating opportunities. That's not who we are. Okay? By the way, let me say this. Couples, you can date. If you're married, you should date. The rest of you, calm down. We're not going there. Okay? We're not changing the music. We're not doing the whole Ricky Ricardo nonsense and, you know, we'll get the praise band. We're not going to paint the building blue and get the blue lights and you know, have. We're not going any of that direction. We're going to do what we've been doing. God's obviously blessed that. You say, well, I was kind of hoping. Hey, listen, you can hope all you want, but we're not doing it. And by the way, if you say, I don't like the church, that's fine. There are other churches. You can either stay here and cause problems, and then we don't like each other. Or you could say, you know what, I disagree. I'm going to go somewhere else I do like, and then you're not bitter. We're not upset with each other. Okay, nothing's changing. Okay, this isn't our opportunity. No. We're going to do what we're doing. Everything's fine. We're going to be good. We're going to be okay. Church isn't changing. Our school, our emphasis, the type of church we are, we don't hide it. You know, we are a Baptist church. Now, Baptist means there are certain distinctives we believe from the Bible. Okay, and that's fine. We're not a Mormon church. We're not a Jehovah Witness. We are not a Presbyterian. We are not, we're not evangelical. We're not Calvary Chapel. We're not any of those things, and we never will be. Okay? Do you dislike those people? No, I don't dislike those people. But that's just not who we are. And we're not going to change to that. Okay? We're not going to do it. And we don't hide it, and that's fine. And then the last thing is this. We're just going to keep going forward. We're not in, you know, we're not in maintain mode. Let's just hold on. You know, let's not, no. We're going to keep going out and reaching people. We're going to keep doing those things we're supposed to do. And if we can do it to a great extent, let's do it to a great extent. Okay? We have a wonderful church here. And you hear the stories, and I was telling the stories, and there's just a flood of memories. And those of you that have been there, you don't even know what has happened in the past. And what is God has done, it's unbelievable. Man, I want to keep doing it. And I'm sure you do too. And so while we're waiting for Pastor, let's go out. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's win people to Jesus Christ. Let's love people. And let's give and be faithful to everything that God wants us to do so we continue to build his, or he could build his church here in Long Beach. Let's all stand.